A little bit later in the week, well, about a week from now, things are going to change around Sonoma County and around California. The legalization of recreational marijuana takes effect on Monday, New Year's Day. And we thought this would be a good time to invite in the executive director of the California Growers Association. Hezekiah Allen is that man. Hezekiah, thanks for being with us this morning.
Oh, good morning. Thanks for the opportunity.
I mean, it seems like we've been talking about this for decades. That's because we have. And now it's right around the corner. And do you expect life to change for us in California as of Monday?
You know, no. Just simply put, I think that for a handful of business owners, there's going to be a lot more paperwork and certainly a lot more tax payments. But in the grand scheme, cannabis has been, you know, pretty widely available. Our medical program was very robust. And so, you know, I certainly don't think the sky will fall by any means.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I think some people are sort of crossing their fingers and sort of hoping it will. But those are the folks who have been against it for a long time. Still, I wonder how it's going to all fall out. You know, I had the sheriff on the phone with me on Friday, and I said, so do you have extra crowd control scheduled for Monday around the very few locations where recreational pot will be sold? And he said, you know what, I think most people that smoke pot probably have pot, so I don't think it's going to be a big issue, but it should be interesting, because there are only three locations in the county that are going to be up and ready to go.
And, you know, believe it or not, Sonoma County is actually a bit further ahead of a lot of folks around the state. You know, we're looking at maybe 100 or less in the entire state. So,
don't you find that odd?
You know, not really, given the timeline. With the voters just passing this a year ago, for the state government to turn around a regulatory package this quickly,
yeah.
I mean, it was really at light speed. Things happened very quickly. There wasn't a lot of public comment or public process. And so most local governments just haven't been able to keep up. I think it may have been a bit more prudent and wise to give ourselves a few more years. But, you know, like you said, this has been in the works for decades now. And I think there was a bit of impatience. And accordingly, we're going to be catching up with ourselves for several years to come.
I just wonder if for some people it's going to be, you know, like it was in Russia, when all of a sudden you could go to your local supermarkets and the shelves were lined with items for the first time. You know, if somebody goes into, I mean, a lot of us, you figure in Sonoma County, about a quarter of the population are senior citizens. A lot of people who grew up smoking pot and may or may not have indulged over the last several years. Well, it's a whole new game now.
I think not only is it a whole new game that you can go in and see the products, but the products that are going to be on those shelves are going to be somewhat recognizable. I mean, you know, we're talking everything from shampoos and skin creams to, you know, of course, the traditional buds that you smoke. But then there's dozens of different products. And so there really is going to be, for some folks, I think, a real surprising, exciting experience those first few trips out to those retail stores.
Yeah, I just wonder what they're going to come home with a bag full of, you know? It's going to be interesting.
Yep. You know, and a really good moment to just mention on that note, particularly when it comes to edibles, be really, really careful with your dosages. And if you haven't consumed cannabis in a couple decades, it's a lot more potent than it was not that long ago. And so, you know, for new folks, be cautious, take it slow, same as with, you know, alcohol or any other abusable substance. Be very careful and start slow and ease into things.
Yeah, I think there is going to be some of that. I mean, I remember when I was coming up and obviously before recreational pot was legal, but we all knew it didn't take long to figure out that smoking a joint was different than eating a pot brownie. And that there was a wide difference in that. So I can't even imagine what it's like now.
Absolutely. I mean, it's even just in my lifetime, and I'm, you know, still relatively young, it's been a lot of progress made. And, you know, the beautiful thing about this new era, though, is consumer assurance. Products will be tested. They will be free from pesticides, free from harmful molds, free from harmful contaminants. And so that really is, I think, one of the more exciting components, and certainly going to be one of the more challenging. It will be costly. You know, there are going to be some costs embedded in the products that weren't before. But
you mean it's not $10 a bag anymore?
Well, you might be able to find something for that. You know, same as with wine. You can, you know, go out to Safeway and you can find wine ranging from a few dollars a bottle to a few thousand. And I think we're going to see a very similar marketplace emerge in cannabis.
Well, you know, that brings up an interesting point purely from a consumer point of view. And that is, okay, when you're selling anything, you, as a particular business in a particular location, will instigate a particular markup on that product. And so I'm wondering if, you know, if there's an effort to make that markup uniform in a way, or generally uniform, so that there isn't this, you know, hotly contested competition between purveyors.
You know, you absolutely onto something here. I expect one of our major strategic priorities in 2018 will be to put together sort of a pricing guide. You know, we have ability to talk to more than 1,000 businesses within our membership, and what are they buying wholesale? What is their markup? What are the various considerations that go into that markup? And, you know, starting to get some transparency and some standardization in the supply chain is going to be really important. And so, you know, folks do a lot of speculating about what's going to happen to the price, and I sort of refrain from doing that. What I can say with certainty is there's going to be a lot of price volatility, but I think we're going to see things move in a lot of different directions as the marketplace stabilizes. So we are definitely going to focus on gathering that information and releasing an aggregate marketplace report that looks at the various markups, what are the various considerations, and try to help inform not only the consumers, but also the business community about sort of standard and normal.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. And Hezekiah, moving forward, okay, so New Year's Day, this all becomes legal. On the one hand, I would think that the overhead would be minimal because most of the recreational pot sellers will be taking place in an already established business, the dispensaries that have been used for medical marijuana so far. And yet, on the other hand, a lot of the growers have had to lay out some pretty big dough to get to the legalized portion altogether.
Well, I think you really hit the nail on the head there. The considerations are going to be very different for the retailers versus the rest of the supply chain. You know, for all of its upside, California's medical cannabis marketplace didn't provide a lot of opportunity to growers and manufacturers. It was really retail focused and very limited. And so, you know, I'm not trying to say that the process is easy for the retailers by any means, but it certainly is hitting the supply chain folks, the growers, the manufacturers, the distributors a lot harder because they're really going from zero to fully regulated, whereas the retailers are maybe going from, you know, 50% to 100%. So it's a bit less of a jump for them.
Yeah, it's going to be quite the learning curve on a number of levels. Do you feel like you've got a handle on it as the president of the California Growers Association on the legality of where to smoke it if you're going to smoke it?
You know, that part I'm pretty confident. Anywhere that smoking cigarettes is prohibited, smoking cannabis will be prohibited. Obviously can't smoke in a car. That's a very important one for people to realize. Same way you can't open a beer in a car, can't even open the baggie in the car. Be very careful about that. You know, generally be cautious in public places. This is actually one of the most challenging things. And, you know, we found that we have an unlikely alliance with the California Highway Patrol, that if folks can't consume responsibly, there's a much better chance they're going to consume irresponsibly, which means they might end up on the road. And so another one of those big priorities in 2018 is going to be opening up more places where consenting adults can go and consume cannabis, maybe socially, but at the very least appropriately and responsibly.
Well, are there going to be like hookah bars for this or what? I mean, you know, people like to drink together, and I'm assuming people like to smoke together.
I mean, I think even a bit more so than drinking. It's a very social activity. And, you know, we are going to see a few lounges. So far, none up in the North Bay that I know of, a couple in the Bay Area.
couple further south. But, you know, I really think while it may be counterintuitive, opening up these places where folks can consume responsibly is one of the best ways to avoid irresponsible consumption.
And there is some, speaking of irresponsible consumption, some question, I think, no doubt on the part of law enforcement about how to ascertain whether a driver is under the influence of cannabis or not at this point.
Absolutely. You know, very different than alcohol. Cannabis will stay in your blood and in your body for sometimes up to 6 weeks or more. And, you know, you might get really intoxicated and be high for a couple of days, but you're not likely to be impaired 3 weeks later. But a test would still show that you had been exposed to it.
Yeah.
So the California Highway Patrol has formed an impaired driving task force. It is a tremendous honor to serve on that task force with the Highway Patrol. And we are going to be, I think, aggressive is the best way to describe it in terms of trying to get some protocols and best practices, both for consumption, but also for how to deal with impaired driving when it does occur.
Well, that's an interesting, I mean, who would you have thought 10, 15 years ago that you would be paired up with the CHP in this
Absolutely.
Particular regard?
Absolutely not. I mean, it's one of several things that life, one of the twists and turns.
All right, it Hezekiah, really is, we've got a few more questions for you. Can you bear with us for a second? We'll take a break and come right back.
Absolutely.
Just days away now before recreational pot becomes legal in California. And Hezekiah, were you as surprised as I was that places like Sausalito, San Francisco are all delaying the sale of recreational pot? I thought those would be the first in line, raring to go, ready to go.
Unfortunately, I sort of saw the writing on the wall. We've been working, especially with San Francisco for quite some time now, and we knew they were a bit off track. But on the whole, yeah, I'm really surprised that some of the municipalities and counties, Marin is a great example.
Yeah.
The voters there passed Prop 64 by pretty astounding margin, yet there's basically no opportunity for regulated cannabis. And the problem here is folks are going to consume cannabis. If there aren't regulated shops, they're going to get it from the unregulated market. And that's going to push all of those problems we're trying to solve on into the future. So definitely some disappointing jurisdictions out there, but not a surprise, unfortunately.
And about how much, what percentage are we talking about, Hezekiah, in terms of the number of growers who are now legal growers in California? Where are we at in that process?
We've seen, I believe, just over 100 licenses issued, so the rest of them are still technically illegal. About 30% of cities and counties are issuing permits, so we'll see more businesses come online between now and the new year, and certainly expecting quite a few in the first few weeks of the new year. But 70% of California and 70% of California consumers and California businesses are still basically locked out of the regulated marketplace.
Yeah.
And then even in places where we have permits, Sonoma County, great example, there were many, many thousands of folks who over the past several years have been operating their businesses in rural residential land, and they're all being forced to relocate and are really scrambling to come up with a path forward. So it's definitely a turbulent transition, throughout the state.
And what about the impact on Sonoma County tourism? You expect some?
I'll be honest. I think that folks have been coming to the North Coast and, the North Bay for years to enjoy this product. And so it may not be quite as much of an increase as it is an openness and a transparency that didn't exist before. And, frankly, I think that transparency within the community is going to be a very positive thing for everyone.
Yeah, well, just remove the blindfold and everything looks a little bit clearer after that. So I think you're right about that. And I'm curious, too, because we've seen sort of the underpinnings of this for a long time. But now it seems like, the wine growers and the marijuana growers, I just see them running toward each other slowly on the beach, ready for a big embrace. Don't you?
Yeah, you know, I think there's an amazing amount of potential between the two. And, you know, historically, we can go look at any one of a number of civilizations and see that the two substances were oftentimes enjoyed together. And I think, you know, California is the perfect intersection of the two crops and the two industries to do some really exciting things.
Yeah, it's going to be very, very interesting because I think that there's no doubt that the wine industry understands the impact. And we just did a story this morning about some winemakers down in Hermosa Beach. And what they're doing is they're taking a Sonoma County Sauvignon Blanc and taking the alcohol out of it and replacing that alcohol with THC. So, So theoretically, you get the relaxing qualities of wine, but you don't get the hangover.
That's the theory. We will see. The Department of Public Health is not that excited about infused THC products.
Yeah.
Because they removed the alcohol, they're going to make it work, but I think there is still some caution. But frankly, you know, I've enjoyed that product in the medical marketplace in the past, and it is quite a pleasant drink to imbibe.
Yeah, so you got the taste, just a different kind of high, right?
Exactly, and it's no hangover. Like you said, you wake up feeling pretty fresh and rejuvenated as opposed to, you know, get a bit under the weather if you drink too much wine.
Yeah, that's for sure. And what about the impact, or will there be one, on the medical marijuana business?
You know, I think the impact of the medical marketplace is going to be pretty huge. What we've seen in other states is that once adult use is regulated, medical sort of fades away into the background.
Yeah.
There are a lot of folks here in California that are very, very insistent on not letting that happen, our organization included. There are really countless, as of yet, unknown medical uses and potential therapies. And we need to keep pushing on the medicine side, keep pushing the science and figure out what all this plant can do for us and not lose sight of that to, you know, folks getting relaxing in the evenings or however folks choose to consume recreationally. That can't replace the progress we've been making on medical. So we've got a lot of work to do to keep the focus up on both.
Yeah, and hopefully the scientific testing will continue on medical marijuana, and we will find out even more from a scientific standpoint about the benefits of that part of it. And so here we go. I mean, we're just days away now. And it, as you look forward to 2018, Hezekiah, what do you think, what differences will we see in, for example, Sonoma County as a result of recreational pot being legal?
I honestly am hard-pressed to point to any immediate or dramatic differences. You know, the sheriff mentioned it last week when you spoke with him that this is already here. Folks are already consuming it. And so hopefully over time, maybe on the 2 to 3 year timeline, we'll start to see a lot less of those residential grows. We'll start to see, you know, farms looking more like farms, which, you know, I think is a positive thing, though it's certainly going to come with some growing pains. But I'm really not expecting immediate overnight impacts. Sonoma County, though, very, very uniquely positioned because of its proximity to Mendocino and Humboldt,
Yeah. Obviously
world-renowned producer counties, and the San Francisco metro area is one of the world's leading marketplaces. And so really a perfect intersection for the county to take advantage of and bring some positive economic impacts home.
And at what point, Hezekiah, do you think the boogeyman factor will fade into history about legalized pot?
I mean, honestly, you still hear folks on the fringes wishing that the prohibition of alcohol had never been repealed.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's been a solid 70, 80 years. And those voices are few and far between, but they're still out there. I think we've got a few generations to go before we move entirely past it. But, you know, what we saw in November last year was 57% said yes. And I think that number is going to continue to steadily increase, and we'll get up into the 70-80% support before too long here, just a couple years probably.
Well, it's going to be an interesting few days because I'm sure there are those that will be ready to pounce on any small thing that may go wrong. And of course, there will be things that go wrong because it's the nature of any new business. But it will be an enlightening 2018 for us, that's for sure.
Yeah, there's going to be some hiccups and there's going to be some folks that point those hiccups out and say, I told you so, but
yeah.
Onwards and keep moving forward.
Absolutely. That's the best we can all do. Hezekiah, thanks so much for being with us this morning. And here we go to January the 1st.
All right. Take care.
That is Hezekiah Allen. He is the executive director of the California Growers Association. It does seem like forever since we've been talking about legalized pot. And now we are just about there.